So last week, we started a new series titled, Behold, a Savior is Born. Behold, a Savior is Born. And my hope and prayer that this particular series, you'll get a new fresh glimpse of what Christmas is all about. We've heard the story for many years, and it gets repetitive. But when you do a deeper dive, and you really look at the purpose of Christ's coming, it can be life-changing. So today is one of those messages, part two. Behold, a Savior is born. I'll have them put that slide up. And the title of today's message is, You Can Have Joy in Your Life Even When Life is Tough. The theme of the second Sunday of Advent is joy. And I want you to know up front, the primary big picture purpose is this. You can have joy in your life even though you might be in a difficult season of life. That's God's plan. And I know many of you here, those listening online, are in a place perhaps of struggle, a place of emotional or physical pain, health issues, financial, could be a host of things. But understand that when Christ came, He came with a purpose, and the purpose was to help people find joy in life even when life is tough. So I'd like you to read with me Luke 2, 10 to 11. I'll have Jaylen put it up on the screen. Great. It's in your notes as well. Let's read these couple of verses together. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Imagine that starry, dark evening, probably cool, and the sky split, and an angel appears and makes an announcement. And the announcement says that I bring you good news. We talked about hope last week. The message gives us hope. He says it's of great joy. And the word great means it's above average. It's supersized. It's mega. It's a message of great joy that will be for all people. So we're going to drill down on the joy factor this morning. And understand, as we look at the verse 11, circle these two words. A Savior has been born to you. Circle to you. This is a personal connection. God has individuals in mind of how to step into their lives and give them joy in the midst of struggles of life. So we're going to talk about that today. I want to give you a definition of joy. It's in your notes. Joy is this. It's a God-birthed attitude of gladness. In other words, joy is an attitude of the heart. And the way to define joy, we'll call it gladness. It's the shine factor of who you are. Now, we all understand this thing called weather. You know, we love to get weather reports. And some options include it's going to be sunny today. Another report from the weather can be it's going to be overcast most of the day. And the third option is it can be maybe thunderstorms. There's rain coming. We all get this thing called the weather, right? But here's the point. Do you realize that you carry weather with you wherever you go? You as a person show up in life, in your homes, or you go to work, or you go shopping. You and I carry weather with us. There's different kinds of weather based on the attitude of gladness or joy or lack of it in our lives. You all understand this. There's some people, you walk into their presence and you know what's coming. They've got bad weather. Thunderstorms, here comes a lightning bolt. Got to be careful on that one. It could be an overcast. Maybe it's something in the middle. Maybe it's partly cloudy, partly sunny. Hey, Then there's the people that have sunshine in their life. You walk into their life, into a room, and you love to be around people that have sunshine in their life. You know why? The oil or the sense of gladness, the shine factor is there. People that have sunshine attitudes, they're just fun to be around. They really are, aren't they? And so when you think about gladness, God desires to birth gladness into each heart so that whenever and wherever you go, the weather goes before you. And it shows up in Christ living in you and through you. Now, in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, Paul lists 9 fruits. And when Christ comes to live in a person's life, the Holy Spirit goes to work on making these 9 fruits grow in your life. The first one is love. The second one, interesting, is joy. Do you realize that God wants to give you joy in your life so that your attitude, the weather you carry with you, just speaks by itself? You know, it's interesting to me, you don't even have to say a word. Somebody can walk into the room and you just see it. You see sunshine or you see the storm. And so this thing called weather and this thing called joy, God wants his children, you and me, to have joy even when life is difficult. And so today I want to talk about that. 3 steps to experiencing this thing called joy in life, this attitude of gladness. Take your sermon listening guide. Let's get started. Number 1, the first step is this. Being joyful is a choice. Being joyful is a choice, a decision. So I gotta tell everybody this just to lay it on the table. You and I are in charge and responsible for our attitude. Nobody else's. You and I are it. We can't delegate it. We can't ask somebody else to help us. We are in charge of this thing called our attitude. And so it's a choice. Joshua 24:15, let's read that. It's in your notes. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Here's what Joshua was telling the people. You got to make a choice or a decision. Do you want to serve the God of your ancestors, which it's a false God, or do you want to serve the living God? It's a choice. And so the attitude of our hearts is a choice. It's a decision that we go after. I was up at the jail last Friday, and I was sharing some of these same thoughts. And I want to talk about 2 different mindsets of people. Letter A in your notes is what I'll call the victim mindset. Letter B is the victor mindset. And so I'm up there, and there were some guys. We had 4 different sessions. There were guys, there were ladies. And we were talking about being a victim or being a victor. Now, here's what the victim does. A victim blames somebody else for their problems. It's somebody else's fault. They go through life pushing aside, saying, you know, that's why this has happened. It's their fault. That's what a victim does. But let me tell you what happens when we have a victim mindset. Listen, we give our power away. You empower another person because they caused this, they did this, therefore that's what I am. You've just empowered them. Or a circumstance. We empower circumstances. I can't help it. It's the circumstances of life. People can go through life always blaming somebody else. It's a victim mindset. Now, the victor mindset. The person that says, yeah, that happened to me, I don't like it, it wasn't right, it wasn't fair, but here's what they do. They make a choice, a decision about their attitude. They're not going to blame somebody else. They're going to take responsibility for themselves. Now, in the jail, I asked the people, I said, well, where are you at in your attitude right now? Are you down here low, which would be a zero or one? Are you in the middle? Or are you way at the top? There were some people, a couple of guys said, you know what? I feel like I'm up here. They had a sense of hope. You know what they're hoping for? To be reunited with their family. Or they'd have a better future. They actually had a good attitude, and they're in jail. There were others that were down here. There were some that didn't answer. But the point is, everybody has either a victim mindset or a victor mindset. Now listen, here's the key thing. How do you know what when a person comes at you, which mindset do they have? Let me tell you the answer. Look at their weather. What's the weather in their life? Are they, what's coming out of their mouth? Are they saying, okay, this happened, but okay, it is what it is, I'm moving forward? Or are they blaming someone else? That is the difference between a victor and a victim. The weather will tell you of where they're at for everybody. And so understand it's a choice. It's an important choice. Here's what Abraham Lincoln said. Most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Most folks are happy as they make up their minds to be. Do you realize you and I are responsible for our attitudes and our choices? And being joyful is a choice. And the weather will reflect that in my life. Is it good? Am I sunny? Am I overcast? Or do I have thunderstorms that I carry with me wherever I go because of the mindset I have? God wants his children, you and me, to have a victor mindset. Where even though life is tough, we choose, make a decision, say, wait a minute. I still want gladness in my life even though I'm going through a difficult time. When the angel appeared on that night and he said it's a message of good news of great joy, I think he could look down through these centuries and see people like you and me. And the message was, I hope they choose joyfulness, gladness in the midst of a difficult season of life. So number one, it's a choice. Number two, the second thing about being joyful and experiencing joy is this. It's an act of faith. When you and I choose to be joyful, or we lean in that direction, it is an act of faith. Read with me Matthew 9:29 in your notes. Then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. Do you realize there's some things that will only happen because of your faith? Isn't that amazing? Because of your faith, it will happen. In King James Version, Matthew 9:29, it says, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Faith is a big deal. You know why? The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The only way you and I can please God is if we have faith. We're trusting him. He respects that. He went to his hometown, and he's the miracle worker. Jesus can do anything. And you know what it says in the Bible? He could not do any miracles there or many because of their unbelief and lack of faith. On the other hand, in another place in the Bible, it says, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Miracles are released when people like you and me have faith in God's word. And when you think of joyfulness, we choose it. It's an act of faith. We lean into it. And God honors people who live that way. And the result, the weather you carry with you wherever you go. Got a couple quotes. Here's the first one. Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It's the presence of God. I want that to soak in. You may be here today and you're greatly suffering in some area. I know some of you are. And there's a struggle going on. But joy can transcend that. Because if the presence of God is there, the fruit of His Spirit, He can birth an attitude of gladness, an attitude of, wow, I'm just going to believe God for better things. And it shows up in a person's life. Here's another quote. Joy is an outward sign of an inward faith in the promises of God. It's an outward sign. It just shows up. It's a choice. It's an act of faith. And God honors people that walk through life with this simple faith, and it's an outward sign. And so here's the last one in this particular point. Small acts of faith are required to ignite God's blessing. Let me stop here. The next 2 weeks, you know, Christmas, and we're going to be going to parties and family get-togethers, and we're going to go to the office and shopping and all that stuff. But listen, a small act of faith of choosing joy can ignite something new in you. And you know what? When you go to those family get-togethers, when you get together with the people that some are more difficult than others, listen, it can ignite God's blessing into your life just because you're believing His word and you're living in connection to Him. So, number two, being joyful is an act of faith. And finally, the third point. Being joyful means allowing God to increase your joy. You allow God to increase your joy. Read with me John 15:5 in your notes. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So this is the vine and the branch verse. Let me explain it this way. Jesus is the vine. He's the stalk, the main part. And so He's the vine. We are the branches. Now the nutrients flow from the vine, the main part. It flows from there to the branch. And so it says if we remain in Him, we abide in Him, we stay connected to Him, here's what's going to happen. The nutrients from the vine will flow into the branch, which is us. And there's an amazing warning here. It's an incredible truth. Here's what He says. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, if Sunday morning church is the only time you get spiritually fed, and you go through the week apart from Him, you're kind of doing life on your own. On the other hand, if during the week, Monday through Friday, you remain, you abide, you stay close, you have your daily devotions, you listen to good music, you get around people that are good people, you do life groups, you remain connected to Him, and you walk that forward. You come to church Sunday, the same thing, you remain connected. Let me tell you, the nutrients flow into the branch, which is this side, and you become stronger and stronger and stronger, and life can be good. And so we find here Jesus says, hey, remain in me, abide in me, because what happens is there's a transfer that takes place. In John 15:11, it's in your notes, Jesus said this, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He has joy that He wants to give you. And the joy starts with Him, and it goes to the branches, and His joy becomes our joy. If you want to improve the weather in your life, the attitude of gladness, the shine factor of who you are, wherever you go, it's your personality, this whole thing about what goes before you, All you have to do is you spend time with the true source of joy. Let him download it and transfer it to your life. And you are the recipient of it. But he says this, apart from him, we can't do it on our own. So the more we stay connected, the better we are. Now, the last set of verses, Isaiah 9, 2-3, read those verses with me. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, an increase their... I just skipped a line or two. Y'all are great. Thank you. You're good. You got it right. I'll learn from you all. But here's what Isaiah is saying. There's darkness in their land. And they even walk in the shadow of death. In other words, things are not good in the world. But God has the ability to enlarge a nation and increase people's joy. I want you to know that today, whatever your joy factor is, whether it's down here or up here, he wants to increase it. And the way it's increased is when you and I remain or abide in connection with the stalk, the vine, we're the branches. And when these two are connected, good things happen and joy can be increased in your life, regardless of whether it's low, medium, or high today. So when you think about Christmas and the angel making this announcement, you know, he says, it's a message of good news. That's hope. And it's of great joy. And the Savior is born to you. Last week, we talked about how the Savior is a rescuer. Up at the jail, I said to the inmates, I said, hey, what do you need to be rescued from? What is it that God needs to do in your life that you can't do yourself? The same question applies to all of us. There's a rescuer. And joy is one of those things where we all need to grow, and it can be increased and expanded. But understand, being joyful is a choice. It's a decision. Victim mindset or victor? We have to figure that out. It's our weather patterns that will tell us that. Number two, it's an act of faith. We just got to lean into it and say, wait a minute, I'm going to believe God that, you know, I'm going to trust him and I'm going to have a good outlook and attitude going forward. Number three, he can increase it. He can make it swell up to a higher level in your life. Here's my closing slide. Joy does not simply happen to us. I'll read it up here. Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. That's what happens when your eyesight goes, right? Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. The next 2 weeks, Christmas is 2 weeks from tomorrow, right? Choose joy intentionally. And I want us to be mindful of our weather pattern. Wherever we go, may it be sunshine. Why? I choose it. I'm going to act on it as believe it for as an act of faith. I'm going to let God increase my joy. I'm going to stay connected to the stalk, the vine, and let him transfer what he's got for me. And the end result is God has children, you and me, who go through the Christmas season, and we live from a place of, wait a minute, gladness, joy, despite being in the middle of a difficult season in life. Because joy is not the absence of suffering. It's a sign of the presence of God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for this group of people, those listening online, that came out just to honor and worship you. And I pray you'll bless each one of them. And I pray that you will bless them with an abundant measure of joy, or especially over the next couple weeks. The attitude of gladness, the shine factor of their life, who they are, and the weather patterns they carry with them. I pray you'll give us sunshine. I pray you'll make every person here attractive at a family gathering because of their attitude, because of who they are, and Christ is living in them. And may the fruit of joy continue to increase. May it expand. And make us children of the living God who represent you. And Father, we just pray now for the remainder of the Christmas season, even into 2024. Lord, come and bless us in abundance with increased joy, because that's why Jesus came to earth, not just to rescue us from our sin, but to also increase the value of joy in our life. And for this, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Singers to come forward at this time for our closing song. We're going to close with a upbeat song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. And would you please stand as we sing together and make this the prayer of your heart, that in the next couple of weeks we'll just be vessels of sharing the joy and the good news that Christ came to bring.